إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, yesterday we mentioned the issue of the certainty of death, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will die and they will also die. And then we mentioned, therefore, what must we do? And we talked about that. Now, if you look at this and say that if I have come to the conclusion and I have convinced myself that I will die, and that therefore I must ensure that I take sufficient provision for me for that journey, for that destination, then how do I judge that? What do I see as good and what do I see as something I should not do? And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again gave us a very easy and simple formula. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّا صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Very simple formula to decide what is correct and what we should do and what is not correct and what we should not do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, إِنَّا صَلَاتِي, surely my salah, verily my salah, my worship. And here salah means the five formal salawat we pray, all the nawafil, and by inference all ibadat. Inna salati wa nusuki, my sacrifice, which refers to the udhiya, the qurbani and so forth. Also any charitable actions, also anything that we spend on. Nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati, my life and my death. Lillahi rabbil alameen, is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now it's a very simple formula to say that all the actions of my life that I do, whatever I do and whatever I choose not to do, because there are two kinds of things. Not doing something also is action. That also is a choice. Not choosing is also a choice. Right? So to pray salah is a choice, not to pray also is a choice. So basically what we are saying is that all the actions that I do, everything I speak, everything I say, must be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that it must be something about which I am sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased. And then inshallah my death will be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because death is not in our hands. Right? So death is not in our hands. I can't say, if I say, well, I am going to die for Allah and I die, that's suicide, which is haram. So it's not a question of, it's not in my cause or not in my control. So death for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing and a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for living our life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we live our life according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then inshallah al-musta'an, we will get this death for the sake of Allah as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, which will be the means of our najat and our deliverance when we meet Him inshallah. So now, very simple. Every action, whatever, before we say anything, we should ask ourselves this question and say, does this please Allah? So it is like, as I call this, living thoughtfully, as opposed to living thoughtlessly, living like a robot or a moron or something. You don't know what you are doing. You are saying something you don't understand. You don't think about why you are saying it. You are not concerned about the effect of what you are saying. You say anything, you do anything, you eat anything, you go anywhere. I mean, this is not the life of a human being. This is the life of an animal. Right? You see a stray cow or a stray dog or something, it will eat anything, whatever is there. Jahan bhi muhar laga muhmaro, to uska kya wahi aur kya, what else will it do? It just eats anything, picks up anything, goes anywhere. Unless there is a physical barrier, it doesn't stop the animal from going into something, eating. So there has to be some difference between how we live as human beings and how animals live. So human beings don't do that. Allah has given us irada, Allah has given us the ability to make decisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a criterion based on which we must make the decision. Very simple. Does it please Allah? That's it. So it's like what we need to do is to have this, you know, like a program running in our mind continuously. Before we say anything, ask, does this please Allah? Now think about our usual conversations. What do we talk about? Mostly we talk about people. This happened, that happened, why did this person do that? And then this whole analysis, why did he do that? Why did he not do that? You know, is he a good person, bad person? For what? All of this for what? Remember that ghibat and namima, there are two things, both are haram. Ghibat is when you actually bad talk somebody. You are saying, taking somebody's name and you are saying that this person is bad in whatever way it is. And when that is true, so what you are saying is true, it's not a lie, but you are saying it in the absence of that person, which makes it haram. Namima is where you imply by implication. You are not taking the person's name, you are not saying anything about that person, but the way you mention that person or the way you say something, it is clear that you are criticizing or saying something bad about that person. You may not actually say any. Usually I give this example. If somebody says, what do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about Zaid? You say, oh, Zaid. So somebody says, why did you say anything bad? I didn't say anything. What did I say? But it's very clear to everybody. Zaid. So this is namima. So the third, of course, is bohtan, which is an absolute lie, slander. You just make up stories about somebody, which also, may Allah forgive us, we do that. Now, why is this so horrible and so haram? Because this thing divides the ummah. This thing puts hatred between people. This thing puts evil in the hearts of people against one another. So here is our conversation. Here is our social life. This is what we normally do. Illa mashallah, may Allah forgive us. So now what happens? We have said that my life is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the moment now this kind of opportunity arises where either I need to say something or people are saying, are talking about all this and it happens to be in your presence, then you know and I know that being in the presence of ghibat is as bad as doing ghibat. Saying it or listening to it are both equally culpable and punishable. So therefore, what must you do? Immediately put a stop to it. Immediately says, excuse me, sorry, this is not permissible conversation, forget it. If you really want to criticize that person, go and talk to him personally. If you are really so interested in that person's welfare, that whatever he is doing is bothering you so much, go talk to him. If you can't talk to him, just stand and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't do both of this, forget it. But don't talk about it. Right? So say all this. Now if you are not able to say that for whatever reason you are feeling hesitant or something, leave the place. Because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple, very simple. I want to please Allah. This thing here does not please Allah. This I am sure about. Let me get out of here. Either I stop this or let me get out of this place. Very simple. Right? Similarly, some transaction which we are doing, we know that there is some piece of that transaction, may not be the whole thing, but there is some part of it which is haram, there is some interest-based thing or whatever, leave that thing. Because we know that in which there is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot possibly be beneficial. I think this is a very critical thing which we must be very clear about. The other day, just now, somebody told me that there is an Islamic organization. I won't name the country and so on because then people will start guessing. But there is an Islamic organization, a college, Muslim college in a country run by, obviously run by Muslims. I mean, it has got some, you know, big shuyukh's name there. And these people have borrowed money on interest in order to build something, to build some building or something like that. I mean, how is this jais? Tell me. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this very clear. It is haram, haram, haram. But you borrow money on interest and you say, no, but you see there is, I mean, just because you have an excuse for something does not make it right. Right? So borrowing money on interest is haram. Now you do that, you borrow this money and you say, well, you see, this is an Islamic. What Islamic organization is that which allows you to do something which is haram? So obviously there is a complete confusion of intentions and people don't know what they are doing. So therefore, they do these things. I mean, that is the most charitable explanation I can put on it. But I'm saying that if there are scholars involved, then it is their job and their responsibility to stop it, to say that, look, you can't do this. Otherwise, why are you there? If you don't know or you don't have the courage to speak, then why are you sitting there? But that happens because of thoughtless living. I'm not implying that these people are deliberately set out with the intention of displeasing Allah. No, they're not doing that. But thoughtless living, yes, just do something. Similarly, our usual complaint about our ostentatious weddings and whatnot. I mean, just think about this. Parents who are doing ostentatious spending for their children's weddings. Or in this case, in many cases, I have found that the children, so-called children, the bride and groom are equally responsible because they want such weddings. It's not only the parents who are forcing them. They want it. People, they want, my wedding should be like this. Now think about that. Despite that, I am of the opinion that these are Muslims. So inshallah, they don't start off by thinking, I want to see how much I can displease Allah. I want to see how much nahusat and zulmat and how much of, corruption I can bring into my wedding in one day. They don't start out with this, obviously, right? So, but again, thoughtless living. No, just let's enjoy ourselves. Somebody says, boss, this is haram, don't do this. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called ostentation. He called israf the work of the ikhwanu shayateen. Innal mubazirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Isra so clearly. Don't do that. We say, aray, chota yaar, forget it. I mean, no, it's only one day, it is this, it is that. So now, basically what's happening is, you have removed this pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your reckoning, from your criterion of judgment. Now what happens? We come back to the original, which is the one day we have to go. Whether you do this or you don't do that, one day we have to go. Now, another big confusion in the minds of some people is that if I am doing something wrong in my life, then if I give some sadaqa or something like this, it cancels out the other one, right? My submission to you, this is Hindu philosophy. This is not Islam. This is Hindu philosophy. You do whatever you want, then go and give some money to the temple and you are good. This is not Islam. Allah does not need your money. You are not doing Allah a favor by giving some money. Seriously, you tell people, you are spending so much of money, colossal fortune on your daughter's wedding. No, but you see, we also are getting 20 poor girls married. First question is, those 20 poor girls, are they being married in the same style as your daughter or some other poor girl style? First of all, that is the question. Secondly, if you are doing that, so what? That does not cancel out the wrong you are doing. First of all, spending money on your daughter's marriage itself is wrong. Whether you spend 1 rupee or one crore, is the same thing. But I'm saying, even if you are doing that, that itself is, how does this cancel out? This issue of throwing money at God is not Muslim or Islamic theology. It's not our Islam. It's not the rule of Islam. Whatever we have belongs to Allah in any case. We are accountable for that. So thinking that you will just, throw some money and you are okay. No, you are not okay. You are not okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept such sadaqat. We have to straighten ourselves. And the way to understand that is to make this very clear in our minds that only and only and only the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beneficial. Only obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that there will be barakah in our lives. There will be the hifz of Allah in our lives and aman of Allah. Otherwise, we are inviting the anger of Allah. No good can come out of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter in what. The very fact that you see somebody doing it and nothing, no calamity has fallen on his head, does not mean anything. That is the hilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the sabr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the patience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives people a long rope. That is all it means. It does not mean anything else. If we convince ourselves of this and we decide to live our lives in this way, as this ayat of the Quran, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahayaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen, inshallah al-musta'an, we are home and dry when the time comes, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to benefit from that and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.